This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Thanks for joining us for another creative conversation with the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County. This should be a lot of fun today because we're talking about one of the things that is really part of the fabric of Winston-Salem. And certainly when I moved to this city back in 2006, this was one of the first events that I went to. And I was just sharing a story before we pressed the record button about some of the people that I got to see and the films and whatnot. And so, of course, we're talking about the River Run Film Festival, one of the greatest events here in our city of Winston-Salem. So we're talking with Rob Davis. He's the executive director of River Run International Film Festival. Rob, how are you?
Great. It's such a pleasure to be here today.
Thank you for being here. And Randy Eady, the president of the Arts Council. Randy, good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm great. Good to see you again. Glad to have Rob here.
Yes. So this will be a fun conversation. And for those that don't know, maybe this is their first experience in learning about River Run, we're really excited to tell you a little bit more about the history of it, what it means to the city, and then, of course, this year's version, which we're recording this in early March, which means we're only a few weeks away from the start of the film festival here in 2020. So, Rob, let's start here, and let's learn a little bit about you, first of all. So give us kind of the background, as much as you'd like to share with our listeners.
Sure. Well, this will be my fourth River Run International Film Festival, and I came to Winston-Salem from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I had been in Florida for quite a few years, both working with a film economics research center at one of the state universities there, and then I had been working with American Public Media and their network of South Florida public broadcasting stations for my last 4 years there. And so we got an offer to sell the Florida network, and that's when I started looking around and wanted to do a little bit more with film like I had done previously. And as it turned out, River Run was looking for someone, and it was just a perfect match. So that's how I got to Winston.
Okay. So tell folks again, as I mentioned it before, maybe this is someone's first experience in learning about River Run. So what can you tell people that either don't know much about it, or maybe they do know something about it, but not necessarily the history of where it's come from? How long has the festival been going on? How did it get its start? Love to get some education there.
Sure. Well, our upcoming festival will be our 22nd River Run International Film Festival. We actually began in Brevard, North Carolina, near Asheville, and we take our name, River Run, from the French Broad River, which flows through that part of the state. You know, the most common question I get is, I don't see a river in Winston-Salem, so why is the festival named River Run? And then the other one was, and some of the listeners will find this amusing, when I first got to town, I just sort of assumed everyone knew about River Run, and people would say, now, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm here working with River Run. And after two or three times when someone said, oh, I'm familiar with that race, but now remind me what time of year, and I would say, well, no, it's not a race. It's a film festival.
Yeah, but it's a 5K.
Anyway, you know, we started out in Brevard. It was really just a three-day event, and it was funny. For our 20th anniversary, we went back into our archives, and in 1999, the big news story, and we've got the clipping of it, was that the festival was expanding that year to a new venue, and they were proudly announcing they would be showing films at the Asheville Beer and Pizza Company. So, in any event, it was in its early years, it was struggling in Brevard, and so the School of the Arts here, the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, and the then dean of the film program, Dale Pollock, played a key role in, instead of seeing that festival sort of go by the wayside, bringing it with a permanent home to Winston-Salem. Okay. We've been here ever since. As many people know, we've grown considerably. We are now an 11-day film festival, the longest film festival in the state of North Carolina. And one achievement that I'm particularly proud of, you know, out of the 1,000-plus film festivals around the world, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, in five categories, they select between 30 and 35 film festivals that they consider Oscar qualifying. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to share with the listeners that River Run is an Oscar qualifying festival in two of the five categories. So in the film festival world, it's a big deal to be Oscar qualifying in one category, but to be Oscar qualifying in two kind of gives us a little edge up on some of our brother and sister festivals.
Sure.
Rob's being a little modest. That's not a little edge up. That is absolutely amazing.
It's a big deal.
It really puts this film festival squarely on the map and at on the radars of anyone who's interested in high-quality film festivals.
Yeah, so we're thrilled that, A, the festival made its way here to Winston-Salem, and it's become a staple of this community. I did not know why it was called River Run, so that I learned something right off the top here. But for Randy and for Rob, both of you, I'd love to hear a little bit about your perspective on it, Randy, your experience with River Run, and then what it really means to this community, how it has become such a premier event here in Winston-Salem over the years.
Well, your question really captures the essence of why it is so impactful and for this community and important to it. We have an increasing number of festivals that are mm-hmm. staged in Winston-Salem, and that is giving a resonance to this community as being, we're not quite a festival capital, but we're known for having interesting, engaging, very highly entertaining festivals. Mm-hmm. River Run and its film festival, given the prominence that it has attained and the underlying quality that led to that prominence, really puts the stamp, the imprimatur, if you will, on us being able to promote amazing festivals as part of the arts and culture scene here. Mm-hmm. And so it means that, I guess, I don't think that's a selfish reason that I love and am so impressed by the festival, but maybe it is. It really makes this community look good. And then the quality of what you see is just outstanding. And for the Arts Council to have the organization as one of our partners, and that organization be the producer of such a magnificent event for the community, is just very, very satisfying for us.
Mm-hmm. Rob, what have you noticed about the way that this community has embraced the film festival? You said this is year four for you?
It's my fourth year, and what I have been so impressed with, really from the day I got to town and my first festival, is just the enthusiasm for film that exists here in Winston-Salem, and I would argue the enthusiasm for all the arts that exists here, because we partner with the Arts Council, we partner with a number of other organizations around town, and I am just continually impressed by the way the residents of the city embrace all of the arts, and of course, especially film. And what I can tell you is, I say that, and someone could say, well, that's not really an objective opinion, because now you're a resident of the city and you may be a little prejudiced, okay? But what I can tell you is, we get feedback all the time from the filmmakers who visit River Run and mm-hmm. from audience members from other parts of the country who visit River Run. And it is consistently very positive, and they are consistently talking about a couple of things. One, the hospitality of just the individuals they meet on the street in Winston-Salem, not just the Arts Council employees, the festival volunteers and employees, but just their interaction on the whole in Winston-Salem. The other thing the filmmakers especially constantly talk about is the enthusiasm of the audiences at their question and answer sessions and the wonderful questions that they answer, that they bring up and the filmmakers answer, and mm-hmm. just it's one of the festivals that they really enjoy coming to. And more than once, we've had visiting filmmakers from Los Angeles, New York, and other big ticket places. They will be sitting at the airport in Greensboro or Charlotte or Raleigh, and they will be tweeting what a wonderful time they've had at River Run before they ever get on their plane going back home.
Yeah.
And we can't get a better endorsement than that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I love that. So we want to make sure that people that are visiting, whether they're film fans or filmmakers or aspiring filmmakers, that when they come here for this year's event, that they have a great time. So my question to each of you now is, what does this city have to offer? What are the things that they need to do while they're, you know, again, there's plenty for them to do within the parameters of the festival, but during some of the downtime when they want to go grab a bite to eat or socialize or go see what the city has to offer, what are the things that each of you would recommend to people that'll be visiting for the festival, or even if they're locals and they're coming to downtown areas to experience it, what are the things they need to be doing while they're here?
Well, they really need to have a packed agenda of films, because Rob, how many films will you be running a day?
173 films from 42 countries this year.
So that's a lot of film. Yeah. So they're not going to have a lot of time to do much, but there are fantastic places to eat. I'm going to digress just a little bit.
Sure.
The Arts Council is particularly excited about this year's festival, because while we've had showings of some films at the Hanesbrands Theater in the past, this year we will have right here on the Arts Council's campus downtown films running simultaneously in our new Reynolds Place Theater and in the Hanesbrands Theater. And then Rob and River Run have a special thing going on up in the Mount Castle Forum Theater, mm-hmm. while films are showing in the other two venues. So really you could come right here to the Arts Council's main campus and never go home. But you could walk out down the block, 4th Street, great places to eat, Jeffrey Adams, marvelous place to eat. And there are other artsy things to do. I may let Rob talk a little bit about those. But you could, like, pitch a tent. And I don't think we'll tow you away, but pitch a tent in our parking lot and just indulge in the festival. But, all right, before I turn it over to Rob, if you have to take a break, go out and visit Rinalda House Museum of American Art, just a couple of miles away from downtown. It's fantastic. They've got a great exhibition going on there. There are always exciting things to see and to learn about that magnificent old house.
Well, we encourage people to, while they are here, especially explore the downtown area. And they're given information about restaurants that are in the downtown that they may want to check out. And also, I know from the past, a lot of our filmmakers have also visited some of the galleries on Trade Street and in the Arts District of the city. Several of them will be out wandering around and they'll say, oh, I was in front of this building the other day, and you know, that would make the perfect location for this type of film or that type of film. So a lot of the filmmakers are always, they have that hat on while they're out enjoying the city. And we also do encourage them to, if they have time, to get out and visit Rinalda House and SECA and all of the arts organizations mm-hmm. around town. And some of them are able to fit that in their schedule, and they always have a great experience when they do.
Yeah. Do you have some favorites around the area that you like to...
Personal favorites?
Yeah, that you like to darken the door of?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, when I have visitors in town, one of the stops very often is Rinalda House, mm-hmm. Because that's got such an interesting history. And the combination of seeing the actual house as it existed, as well as whatever exhibit they have in the museum area, is always something that people tend to enjoy. And then also, depending on how long they're here, little jaunts to Pilot Mountain or some of the nature areas, sure. because we're very fortunate that we have a vibrant, exciting downtown, but also... Mm-hmm. Within a very short distance, some magnificent natural resources that people can take advantage of.
And Old Salem is also another historical location that resonates with history and art and culture more broadly. Got to eat downtown. Jeffrey Adams is a great place. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, I'm having lunch there later today. Sweet potatoes, superb Oof. Place. Oof. Got Absolutely. You know, you got to... you got to have some of that. So there's a lot. And there's information that will be, you know, given to people who are from out of town mm-hmm. to guide them around when they have to take a break after having seen 5 films one day.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story about Old Salem. We had an actress in town not long ago for one of our year-round screenings here at the Hanesbrands Theater. And her name's Veronica Cartwright. And Veronica started acting when she was about 9 years old, and she's 70 now, so she's done a whole lot of film and television, never stopped working. And we were coming back from the School of the Arts to Hanesbrands, and I thought, well, I'll just deviate and I'll drive up through Old Salem so she can just see see it as we're on our way back. And as we drove by the green area in front of Salem College, and she said, "Oh my goodness, that's where they stoned me to death in the film I did here about 20 years ago."
I love that. So as you mentioned, there may not be many opportunities for people to take breaks because of the amount of films that people have the opportunity to go and see in what is a relatively short amount of time. So now let's get into what about the 2020 version of River Run is going to make it something that's can't miss. What makes it really stand out this year?
Well, we have a number of what I would consider higher profile films in the festival this year, and I think this is because of the steady growth of our reputation in the film community. But one of our opening night films stars Kristen Scott Thomas and Sharon Horgan, and it's called Military Wives, and it's just a fascinating film about how in Great Britain, a group of women, while their spouses are deployed in Afghanistan, start a singing group, really as something to do to help pass the time. And they become so good that they're recognized and invited to sing at the Royal Albert Hall. And what happens is it basically starts a trend in Great Britain. And so the story, their journey from just beginning their group to the Royal Albert Hall performance has a lot of drama in it, a lot of tension, and a lot of comedy. I mean, you laugh at this film, you cry with this film, but it is based on a true story of the first such group, and I think now they're like, at the end of the film it tells us, and I believe it said they're like 70 or 72 of those groups all across England and Scotland and Wales. So that's a great film. We have another one that's kind of remarkable. It's called Resistance. And Jesse Eisenberg plays the famous French mime Marcel Marceau. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I had remembered reading that in his youth, Marcel Marceau had been active with the French Resistance in World War II. Well, this film just talks about that part of his life. And what I did not know is the fact that he was responsible for rescuing many, 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 many children in the French Resistance, and it's a very moving film and a very, very compelling story. That's one. On the documentary side, oh my goodness, we've got so many fascinating ones. One that I particularly liked because I did grow up near Nashville and spent a lot of time there, and while in graduate school worked with the Grand Ole Opry and other things. We have a film called My Darling Vivian, and it's the story of Johnny Cash's first wife. And it's told by her four daughters, Roseanne Cash and her three sisters, and was made by one of the filmmakers is Johnny Cash's grandson. And it's a remarkable film from many respects. You know, apparently Vivian, the first wife, never threw away anything. So she has like 1,000 love letters from Johnny Cash and all of this memorabilia. So when you figure family members are making the film, they could easily have let this go on a little longer than it should have because there's so much material and they're so close to the subject. And they didn't. They brought it in at an hour and 29 minutes, and it really tells the story of a truly amazing woman. And one of the daughters, Kathy Cash, and two filmmakers are going to be coming from Nashville to participate in the Q&A with that film. And it was interesting. This is the first time in my film festival work anywhere where I've had to call our host hotel and say someone is coming in their RV and they're going to sleep in the hotel, but can they park their RV out back? And that's Johnny's daughter, who apparently is an avid RVer these days. So.
That's great. That would be a fascinating story. If people are hearing about My Darling Vivian or any of the other films that you mentioned, what's the best resource for them to find out when can I see these during the festival?
Well, everything is very well organized on our website, and okay. That website is riverrunfilm.com. www.frenchfilmfestival.com.
Okay.
You can go on there and you can actually, if you're interested in French films, we have a way that you can just pull up all French films that are in the festival.
Okay.
And that will come up. Or you can peruse the whole schedule. There's also, you know, we do a printed film guide, and those are being distributed today, actually. They're going to be available all over town.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get a physical copy of it, or we have a link on the website where you can go and scroll through that film guide page by page.
Very good. Randy, you alluded to this earlier, but the Arts Council is going to take on a very large role in hosting a lot of the films and events around River Run. So give us your thoughts and the excitement level of the Arts Council being almost like a main hub for River Run this year.
Well, the excitement is palpable because literally I'll be able to come from my office and walk right downstairs and watch film.
Mm-hmm.
And then walk less than a half a block over to Reynolds Place Theater and watch some more film. And go upstairs from Reynolds Place Theater to Mount Castle Forum. You need to tell the people a little bit about what will be happening up in Mount Castle Forum, Rob.
Well, we're just thrilled because really and truly, you know, the Milton Rhodes Center for the Arts, as we call it, it is our festival headquarters mm-hmm. this year. And
I was hoping, I didn't know you were actually designating
yes,
it.
Yes,
well, good. And I didn't want to get ahead of it. We're the headquarters. I love that. But
you are the headquarters.
Breaking news.
We're very happy about that. And our festival concierge, Deb Williams, will be in the main lobby at Milton Rhodes. We'll, as Randy said, we're showing films in both Reynolds Place as well as Haynes Brands. We're also doing some of our educational panels here, which are free. And then up in Mount Castle, I think we've got one or two panels scheduled up there. And we also, during the day, that will be our filmmaker lounge where the filmmakers gather. And in the evenings, we'll use that for our member reception. So we're taking full advantage of all the space here. And if I can, I would just like to point out one program that we're so proud of that's going to take place here. And it's an important program, and I hope more people turn out for it this year. It's called Pitch Fest, and this is where college students come and pitch their ideas for documentary films to a panel of judges. And once the pitches are completed, we take a little break, the judges deliberate, and we come back and we award cash prizes to the first and second place winners so they have a little money to help finish their projects. Now, this has always been a terrific program. Typically, it's been at Haynes Brands on a Friday. Well, this year, we've moved it to a Saturday because it's free, and we hope more people will come and support these filmmakers of the future. But what I'm especially excited about, last year we had four colleges participate from across North Carolina. This year we have nine colleges participating, including our first two from out of state.
Wow.
A team from Agnes Scott College in Georgia and one from George Mason University in Virginia. So we're just thrilled. And in the state, they're coming from everywhere, ranging from Appalachian State to UNC Wilmington. So we are just absolutely thrilled with the response from the students this year. And I hope a lot of people come to the Milton Rhodes Center to watch this presentation.
I love that concept. I really do.
I didn't know it had grown to that size. Congratulations.
We're very proud of that.
More evidence of what we were saying earlier, Adam, about the prominence of mm-hmm. this festival and the growing reputation of it.
Sure.
Just fantastic.
You know, it's interesting that the festival is terrific, but it's a week and a half, 2 weeks, once a year. But it doesn't start and stop just with those days, right? So the Arts Council, River Run work together on other projects throughout the year, correct? Can you enlighten us on some of the things that are happening outside of the actual festival dates?
Well, the principal thing that is ongoing over the course of the year is the River Run Retro. And Rob is the man to tell you more specifics about it, but mm-hmm. it's exciting. But it continues to feed and to cultivate that interest in film by local residents throughout the course of the year.
Well, we, you know, what we do is we try to have screenings almost every month of one sort or the other because we are a year-round organization. And last year, I can tell you, outside of festival time, we did 30 year-round screenings. And that's pretty aggressive for an organization that also puts together a large annual event. And two of the primary programs that occur year-round, one is the Indie Lens pop-up series of documentary films, and this is done in conjunction with PBS and the Independent Television Service out of San Francisco. And they have about 78 venues they work with across the United States. And River Run and UNC TV in Raleigh are the only two in the state of North Carolina where they actually show their films. And we do those. Those are free screenings, and we do those at the Forsyth County Central Library. And then we also have venues in Greensboro and Yadkinville for those. But one that we do quite a few screenings of at the Arts Council, especially at Haynes Brands, is our River Run Retro. And this kind of stems from our belief that if we want to know where film is today and where it may be going, we have to understand where we've come from. And so we bring typically an older film in. The most recent one was from the 70s, but we've done films from the 30s. We've done films from the 50s. And we have someone here who is connected with that film and can talk about it. And that may be a star who comes. Our very first one here at Haynes Brands, the actress Millie Perkins came, and Millie Perkins' first film was that she played Anne Frank in The Diary of Anne Frank, and she was here to talk about that specifically. We've had most recently Carol Baker here to talk about her 1956 film Baby Doll, and then Veronica Cartwright's the actress I mentioned who was stoned to death in Old Salem, and she was here for a screening of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So these run the gamut. We've also had a Pulitzer Prize winner here at Haynes Brands who wrote a book about the film High Noon and was here to discuss that, Glenn Frankel. And we're just thrilled to partner with the Arts Council on these year-round programs. And the interesting thing is we always get some audience members at the retros who say, you know, I've never been to your festival, but based on this, I think I'll check out some festival films next time. And yeah. So it's kind of a recruitment tool in addition to an educational program.
Nice gateway.
Absolutely.
Really, yeah, to the festival. That's great. Randy, what are some other things the Arts Council is working on right now?
Wow. I'm intensely focused on the festival, but we're always out working with partner organizations, trying to find ways to help them extend the reach of their impact, grow their audiences, and the like. And, of course, we're always raising money.
Right.
And I don't think anybody on the podcast want to hear me talk about that, but go to the website if you want to contribute. But that's our we were sort of in the day-to-day promotion, advocating for doing things to push to extend the reach and impact of the arts organization. We don't have a major project like we did last year with the renovation of the Milton Road Centers that's on the board. Mm-hmm. Although there is one more facilities project that we have our eyes on, but we're kind of hunkered down, trying to move the whole arts constellation of this community forward.
Yeah, the Arts Council is a great resource to see where our city is going, what they're focusing on to try to grow it in our community. So the website, there's email newsletters,
yes,
a lot of free information that's readily available to at least educate, learn, and then hopefully offer support for the project.
I will say this, it's not a hard, tangible thing, but it's the most important thing that we are doing right now. And that is the strategic messaging that we are taking out to the community to remind some people, but to introduce some others to how much there is here. Mm-hmm. And we call it the Arts Constellation, but that's the collection of amazing organizations like River Run and the Symphony, and then individual artists who are doing various things. Mm-hmm. To make people aware of just how vibrant and diverse and dynamic that arts constellation is, to then make them aware of how important it is to this community being such a great place to live, work, learn, and play. Mm-hmm. And so telling that story and having it begin to resonate at an increasingly personal level with as many people in the community as we can is at the top of our list of things that we're doing.
Very good. Rob, so as we get to the end of our conversation, there's one question we always ask our guests, but before I get to that, with someone that's so heavily involved in film and such a fan of cinematic theater, I want to know some of your favorites. Some of your favorite films all time, maybe the best thing you've seen this year or in the last 6 months. I'd love to hear kind of a little bit about your tastes in film.
Sure. Well, I'm glad you said some of my favorite films, because the one question that I really try to avoid answering mm-hmm. is when someone says, what is your favorite film of all time?
Yeah.
Because that's just very difficult for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of my favorites, I would say, do go back to the classic era of filmmaking, because a number of the things that we learned in those days about telling a story, both from the script and even technically, are still with us today, just in more advanced forms. And I think we learn a lot from studying some of the older films. One of my favorites, you know, I was very fortunate in my academic career to be one of 60 people invited to New York University to speak at the Alfred Hitchcock Centennial Conference. So Hitchcock's films have been on my radar for a number of years, and I navigate over time as to which one of those I sort of consider my favorite. But one that I really appreciate the work in considerably is Vertigo from 1958 with James Stewart and Kim Novak. So that's definitely on my list of favorites. In terms of the last 6 months, I will tell you, I was out in Los Angeles about 3 weeks ago for a screening, and I had a free Sunday afternoon. And so I was looking in the neighborhood where I was, what was playing and what I had not seen. And I had not seen 1918. I was intending to see it when I got home. And it just so happened it was playing at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. And the Chinese now is the old Chinese Theater, plus I think there's like six more in a multiplex attached to it. But 1918 was playing in Laser IMAX in the old main Chinese Theater. And I think that is a remarkable piece of filmmaking, and that's probably one of my favorites of the last 6 months for sure.
Randy, I'd like to ask you the same question if you'd like to chime in with some of your favorites.
Wow. Well, you're not coming from, you're coming from the shallow water right now. With Rob, you came from a deep ocean. But I will watch and rewatch from time to time Godfathers 1 and 2. It's just, and I will also watch the, I think there may have been, well, I know that there have been some remakes over the years, but the Machiavellian Cleopatra, the one with Elizabeth Taylor, yes. Richard Burton, Rex Harrison. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just one of my favorite things to watch. And then I will also watch, which probably too often, Coming to America. I think that what Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall do in that film is just superb.
They're remarkable. Yeah. They really are.
Yeah. So I stopped there. Like I tell you, I'm in shallow waters.
I appreciate you, the two of you, indulging me in that question. Okay, so now let's get to our themed final question, which is, if you could have dinner with any artist, dead or alive, who would you invite and why?
Well, you know, I'm going to say this. If you make me pick one of these two, I will narrow it down and pick two.
Yeah, now you actually have to pick something.
I would love to have one deceased and one living. And my deceased choice would be F. Scott Fitzgerald, because I think he did such a remarkable job of telling stories that represented the era he lived in, the mm-hmm. Roaring Twenties, the jazz age. And in particular, I'd like to talk with him about his plan for his last novel, which was unfinished, called The Love of the Last Tycoon, published as The Last Tycoon, which tells the story of a movie producer. And it's modeled after an actual producer, Irving Thalberg at MGM. And I would love to know what his plan was for the conclusion of that book, because all we can do is speculate on that. Now, for my living artist, I would love to have Dolly Parton, because I got to meet her twice when I was working in Nashville. And they were brief meetings, mm-hmm. but she is a very insightful lady. And I think her upbringing in the mountains of East Tennessee gave her a very unique viewpoint, of which she has sort of become someone like a Fitzgerald of her time, because she comments on most every aspect of current society, whether talking about it, making a film about it, or writing a song about it. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be fascinating to have these two people here, because they're so different and they're chroniclers, if you will, if that's a word, of their respective times. But if you made me say, okay, you've only got to have one, well, since Dolly's still alive and I might have a chance to see her again, I probably would have dinner with Mr. Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Good answer. Really good answer.
That's a great answer. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Randy, anything you want to add for that question?
Listeners of this podcast have heard me say, and I broke the rules, Rob, that I would have Louis Armstrong, Billie Holiday, and William Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd have a quartet at my dinner. But I'm fascinated by F. Scott Fitzgerald, Rob, for different set of reasons that don't come from an interest in film per se, mm-hmm. but just things that he wrote. I think I'd want to go and horn in on Rob's dinner with F. Scott Fitzgerald.
I love it. I love it.
If I could, I do just want to say one statement that goes back to what Randy was speaking about earlier, and that is I just want to say we are so fortunate in Winston-Salem and Forsyth County to have an arts council of the magnitude that exists here at this Arts Council, because it is truly a resource and treasure to the community. And River Run would not exist as it does without the support of the Arts Council. And I applaud the Arts Council for being so forward-thinking and innovative, especially at this time when the arts and culture landscape is changing. And they are really, just as they were the first Arts Council years ago, they are setting a model for the future. And I say that out of just objective respect for this organization, what it stands for, and what it does.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you, Rob.
Yes, very good. Thank you both for being here. And again, Rob, first day of the festival is?
March 26th.
March 26th. It's exciting time of year in Winston-Salem whenever River Run gets rolling. So, Rob, Randy, thank you both so much for sharing some stories and some information about this year's festival. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. For tons more local content, find our entire library on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Google Play, or Stitcher. And if you want to support the show and those that contribute, please take a moment to give us a rating, 5 stars preferably, and review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, spread the word and interact with us about what you've heard. You can find us at Triad Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.